Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the South Africa podcast. You're listening to myself, Ivic Wolf, here. We just tried to fix our audio issues. Hopefully this is better. For those of you guys who are listening, please just let us know.
Just ping us if there's any issues.
Yeah, just ping us if there are any issues. Obviously, that is the wonderfully, what would you call it, sonorous voice of Scratch. And the other two people who are on the stream with us this evening are Foxtasy and Chaos Rider. Good evening to you two.
Hello. Good evening.
Cool. Right. We're very clear, apparently. Good stuff.
Fantastic.
All right, so that's good to hear. Very, very good to hear. All right, so, Chaos, now you've obviously not been on the stream before. Foxtasy, you've been on the stream about, this is your third visit to us, I believe. And our third visit to Brazil as well. So, there's been a lot that's happened, obviously. It's been a year and a half. A large amount of things have changed that side. Apparently, you guys have mentioned that the furry scene has been, getting a lot better that side.
Yes, we are now, last time I talked to you guys, we had an environment of conflict between events and hurt people, like attacking each other, and it is now resolved. You see, everybody got in terms, everybody's now willing to talk, everybody's willing to help the community to be more united. So yeah, our climate has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. For better.
That's really good to hear. Yeah.
Yes, for better.
Yeah, there's a TV or something in the background.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sorry.
Seems like it's gone now. No worries.
Okay.
But anyhow, ask away.
All right. So, obviously, like you were saying, that there were a couple of issues in respect to things like that. What exactly, what's changed, I think, since about a year and a half ago? What exactly has changed in the, what would you call it, spectrum of what Brazil and the furry fandom has to offer now currently?
Well, right now, when we, at the end of the BFF convention, Danny has invited us to talk about our new event, like for camp. And when we stepped up to talk about it, I had to take the stage and talk about the event because Chaos had some issues back then and he couldn't like talk. And I was very, very touched. I was talking and was like saying that my first con at the furry fandom was really something, and like with that spirit I wanted to present the other furries with the same feeling. Like I remember shouting at the end of the first abando I've been to, "This is the best carnival in my life!" And I was like, I am here working with this amazing team, like Chaos and the rest of the staff, to provide the furries with like the second official con in Brazil. And Danny even changed the slogan for Brazil Fur Fest. That was the first con in Brazil and something like that. And he changed, like he talked briefly about the conflict we had between event staffs, and he was like, he changed the slogan for Best Friends Forever. You know, Brazil Fur Fest, Best Friends Forever. It was very touching, and it is now gone. Like, nobody is gonna talk about that conflict anymore. Nobody's gonna make drama about it. And we are now in the same page that we want to make the furry Brazil furry community united, and we're gonna... Yeah, bigger and with less drama. Like, we're now there's an interesting work that Setzer, which is a staff for Brazil Fur Fest, is doing inside Brazil Fur Fest. He There is a talk he does where he talks about drama, about communication, about people that are sometimes overly dramatic and how that is toxic to the whole community. And mm-hmm. and it is it's a very nice talk. I mean, been to that talk like 2 times, and in that second time that I went to the Brazil Fur Fest, I remember that I even gave my 5 cents about the whole thing, and Setzer appreciated it. And I'm thinking about like stepping up with him and saying some stuff I've been through, like to compliment his talk. Like he enjoyed what I said. I said something in the lines of, "Hey, sometimes you need to consider this each other's feelings. Like an angry person will not act rationally. He wants to be heard. He wants to be understood. Like." To each other's feelings, because we are not our feelings, but we are sometimes acting wrong on top of strong feelings. So perhaps we should focus in understanding each other's feelings beforehand, before anything, you know?
Yeah, very much.
Like, he agreed with me, so...
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, like, what's the path forward then from here?
I'm really excited about Fur Camp. Like, me and Chaos are doing an amazing job with this con. Like, as I said before the interview started, we have a very nice dynamic inside Fur Camp staff. We are like Enterprise. I'm going to use Star Trek to explain this again. Chaos is like... Just bear with me, okay? he's like Kirk, and he's very emotional. He's very passionate about the whole thing. And I'm like, whoa, hang in there. Like Spock would do. Like, whoa, hang in there. It's not like that. Be careful, because that might happen. And there's the crazy Scotty guy. Oh my god, everything's gonna burn! And we're like, no, relax. Let's all talk, and let's find a way. And then... It's a very nice team I'm working with, like...
All right. So,
really
Chaos, what...
Good people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chaos, what... obviously, what's the word? A large amount of things have been happening. So, I mean, how did you get to be the chair for Fur Camp?
I am the creator of everything. Mm-hmm. I was thinking to create the convention for almost 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I started to put all the cogs together, all the words and the documents together on December last year. And on January, I was thinking to create the convention, to finally put the convention on air and search for the people to work with me. We have the first people that was working on Fur Camp was Draku, mm-hmm. a purple dwag, a dragon here in Brazil. And everyone that we have on staff now come to me asking to be a staff, because they liked the idea. On 2016, the last year of Abando, I was a staff mm-hmm. on the team. So... everyone on Brazil that went one time to Abando liked the idea, the happiness that we had on the convention. And when Abando ended, everyone lost a part of of themselves. So the idea for Camp is reunite everyone. Have a new convention in Brazil, because we was having only one convention, so people needed to wait 1 year to meet their friends again. So that was the original idea. And why Viking? I like Vikings.
Yeah, the theme for the for 2019 is Vikings. So yeah,
the return of the Vikings.
How does that work in Brazil, for instance?
Sorry, you I mean, didn't get it.
Like, yeah, like, how does Viking Brazil?
Oh,
what
the
do you guys intend to do? Yeah.
Yeah, we have again, some conventions, does... but they are all normies. It's not a furry conventions.
Yeah.
We have lots of conventions for normies.
Your theme, why Vikings particularly?
First, I was watching Vikings.
Vikings, yeah.
the show. And I always liked the... Yep. I always liked the culture and other things, the Nordic culture, their gods, their myths, their legends. I always like it, and it's a good thing for the place that we are hosting the event.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The place that we are hosting the event, it's a national park here in Brazil, that each living space that they have a rustic theme. And it's really some... Foxy, help me.
Well, I know. I think I know what you're trying to say. Yeah, the place is very like it's all made of wood. It goes well with the theme, you know. So
log cabins and the like.
Yeah, cabins, and there's even a fireplace at the big hall, and
oh, nice.
That. I think it works well with the theme, like Vikings and with Intervalis. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot of nature as well, and I think it goes well with the theme. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a very interesting question, particularly because I know that we at South Africa actually did almost the exact same thing, but not Vikings particularly, but the thing is that one of the first things when it came to theming a particular convention was to look outside the borders first and to sort of, you know, do something that was what we would consider to be neutral. What was the thinking behind doing Vikings in the first place? Like, I mean, there's obviously, like, culturally there's a large amount of things in Brazil that you can be doing, for instance, but why then look outside borders first?
I think it's sorry, Chaos, you wanna get take this, or should I?
Why I choose the outside instead of an inside team?
No,
it's a more
it's more like outside culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Right, you know, why choose something that's just sort of not culturally native to Brazil?
Yeah,
we did the same thing. We did a Wild West theme, so but yeah, that's it sort of fit with our location as well. But was there a particular reason that you guys chose to look outside of Brazilian culture and to Nordic culture or Norse culture instead, or was it just like this is a fun theme and it kind of where we're going kind of looks, you know, like
Norse-ish,
yeah, or Scandinavian?
I made a list. Of possible things.
Mm-hmm.
I put the good point and the bad point for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Vikings, it's bad for me to say, but I was the only one creating the event on that time. So
yeah.
I chose the one that I like most.
Okay.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's about as good an answer as any.
Yeah, we can't talk about that.
No, not really. I mean, like, it's pretty much, yeah, that's, I know exactly how that feels. okay, so, I mean, talk us through, I mean, I know that we I think briefly, and this is, again, a year and a half ago, like, what exactly happened with the whole Abando thing? I know that there was, what's the word, finance issues, for instance, I believe?
Sorry.
It's something.
This... Huh? Should I talk about this or you wanna?
I will give my 5 cents.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will give my 5 cents from when I was on the team. What was the problem? We had a problem on some years ago with the Abando, and have a lot of issues. So it is not only financial. it's some emotional. The problems that everyone had on some years ago, it was not being so easy to manage. On the emotional, friendship was ended. People was hurted, not on physical, but emotional.
Yeah.
So we have some changes on the staff. We have a lot of particular things happening. That when everything was summed up, everything come up to Abando. The most logical reason was to end the event.
Mm-hmm.
Repair themselves, get better, and if the moment was right, try to bring a bundle back.
Okay.
But we should one thing we wanna make perfectly clear here is that this is not a bundle 2.0. Like
we are
saying this all the time because we know that it has a bad energy around it. You know. A lot of people got hurt, a lot of people, there were even financial problems for the staff, and everybody's head was entirely messed up about the whole deal, and nobody wanted to, like, touch the wound. Like, it was an open wound. Like, it's a very sensitive subject, I would say, to this day, even. And that's why we are, like, everybody is coping a lot better with it, like, the end of a bundle, like, they understand, the staff, to this day, they understand what they had done wrong, but the problem is that a lot of other issues happened at the same time, and they weren't just enough staff to deal with all of them.
Mm.
All happening at the same time. There was the crazy guy with a car. He was trying to hit the attendees. Like, and this guy was a hurt friend, one of the staffs at the time. That he was sad that his friend was a furry and that he didn't give him so much attention anymore. So there was this kind of problem happening at the time. So it was heavy stuff. So, like, it was all heavy stuff. Like
that. So it was mostly personal problems, personal issues, or was there something deeper than that that was going on?
I think everyone it's just has, probably just a bit of a perfect storm. Everything coming together, at, like, focusing on one issue, and that's just ugh.
There were many, many other problems happening at the time. Let me see if I can recall some of them. Attendees were motivated to cause as much problem as they could to the staff because they were hurt for whatever reasons. I can't even say clearly what the problem was that they had with the staff, but people with this mindset, like, the staff failed me before, so now I'm gonna destroy this event. Like, there were a lot of people thinking like that.
Carry on.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go.
This is like, I think everybody has moved on from this, you know? I think it's safe to say that we should end this subject. Like, everything, like, everybody's over it, you know? Nobody's really feeling like talking about this anymore, so...
Well, I mean, it's been a year and a half, so...
Yeah.
Let's
move on. I can fully understand that. It's just that so that if anybody else does sort of ask about this or comment or anything like that, you guys do have another answer on the question itself. So, moving on from this, obviously, it's probably one of the problems. Great, now I'm going straight back into it, but I don't want to go back into it in that respect. But, like, I mean, you, like South Africa, have what one could consider to be a very small, I think, furry community. Any way that you guys are attempting to sort of get more people
community
interested?
Is, yeah. Like, Brazil Fur Fest had, like, 400 or so attendees, and they are expecting a growth with the attendees. And like, even us, like, we're starting the convention, we had like 46 slots available, and they just, boom, they vanished as soon as we announced it. And after we announced it at Brazilferfest, the remaining ones like said, well,
In the end of Brazilferfest, we have a 13 spots to go. It ended in 3 days. In 3 days, each spot that we have to finish, they sell it in 3 days after BFF. So we are expecting for the next year, for 2020, at least 100 or 120 or more. But the problem for us is the place. We are trying to see better places.
Yeah, because I mean that's always one of the main issues, isn't it?
Intervallis, Intervallis has an issue with the, just that they have like three or so big houses. They, to this day, they have three. They have the Woodpecker. They have the it's the name of the houses. So there's the Woodpecker. There's the ounce, there's the squirrel, and there are three more that they are calling it the, how do you say Lontra again? I don't remember.
Otters.
Yeah, there are the otters, and there are like two houses that they're announcing, and with that houses available, we would have like 100 more spots available, but they are having issues with the government about finding a company to care for the houses. Trying to look into this problem.
I'm looking at the pictures currently, and this place is stunning. Holy crap!
You're looking through the pictures from our website from your internet.
From your
website. Oh yeah.
I can send to you the website of them. No, but it's only in Portuguese.
it's okay. I'm perfectly fine just looking through these pictures again. I want to live here. I also want that white combi in the background.
You don't need white vans.
No, I want to. Well, fair enough. I'll paint it. A furry gathering here.
Yeah, do that like Phoenix van from Zootopia, that like horribly camp piece of art that he had on that thing.
I'll rope Sudan in and have her give like candy to everybody, but like property candy.
That's no. You are definitely gonna get flagged for that. Like, no chance not. Like, seriously.
Yeah. We have all the resources. I'm just saying. Like, Yote has the like Volkswagen vans, and yeah.
Yeah, and you provide. And creepy pedo uncle look, and then we're set.
Thanks. I mean, all we need to do is like shave off like half of my goatee, and I think we're good to go.
Yeah. Good to go to jail.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, what kind of activities are people looking for at this camp? I mean, convention. Like, there is a difference, isn't there?
We are having some activities related to the team. Okay. Like the throwing axes.
Oh. You guys have axe throwing?
No, it's not a real axe. It's a swordplay axe.
Oh.
We can't enter. Yeah, it's sad, but we can't enter with a real axe on a national reservation. We are going to be arrested.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a bummer.
Oh, okay.
We are going to have the camp battle with the swordplay swords that we are creating here on my home.
Okay.
Photography.
Ooh.
You guys are going to be doing like a photography competition?
Yep.
Nice. In a national park. The good thing of pretty, yeah.
The good thing of Intervalis, it's Amazonia reservation. So mm-hmm. we have all the birds that is protected by law. We have all the animals. We have little wolves and maned wolves. Mm. They are far away from the houses. It's safe to go there, but the own park have a bird observation that you can go on 4 a.m. if I'm not wrong. I need to check with the park. Mm-hmm. They start to observe the birds at 4 a.m. So if someone wants to participate on the photography competition, it can go with that thing. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I choose it, Intervalis, is to reunite the people and the nature. And Intervalis is the best option to do that. Mm. It's one of the most preserved parks that we have on a reserve that is called Petar. That yeah. came from the top of the country and go to the end. It's all preserved Amazonian forests and rivers.
Mm. That is really cool.
That I mean, again, the pictures definitely tell one hell of a story.
And there's the caves. I don't remember if there is a picture of the caves.
Oh my god, the caves! The caves are awesome. Ah, the caves are so awesome.
I'm assuming you've been. I'm claustrophobic. I wouldn't necessarily be able to get into a cave.
Yep, and I'm fat, so I'm not gonna fit in a cave.
I'm fat too. I fit on the cave.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, still claustrophobic.
Yeah.
there was a time. That is a funny story. I have to share it.
Okay. Go.
There was a time when I was crossing one of the caves, and there was this friend of mine who is actually arachnophobic. Oh, shit. He was right in front of me, and he went like a palm of distance. His head went like a palm of distance to a big spider. He didn't see it. I don't ask me how he didn't see that, because his face went this close to that enormous spider. And when I saw that, I was like, oh god. And he was like, what is it? I was like, nothing, just go. And I was like, oh my god, this thing is gonna jump in my face, please help me. And he didn't. So when we were out of the cave, like I told him, your face went this close to a spider the size of my hand. And he was like, oh, you did the right thing.
With that story, I remember one that I have it with Luna. One of our staffs is called Luna. She, yeah. How can I say, she's a small. Really
small. Small.
In some places of the caves, there is water. And you need to cross it, that water. Me and the friend needed to carry her up, because the water is above her head. So I needed to carry her. I'm not so high. I am 180. But she was really small, so I needed to carry her for her. She was able to swim on there.
Oh, yeah. All the more reason for me to not go into the cave.
Well, I mean, we're talking.
Yeah, you would like still. To go on a... There's a cave that you can go.
Yeah?
It's called Fendão. It's a big, big cave. The entrance... I will try to find a picture and send for you to see the entrance of the cave. It's really big. Oh, so it was not going to be a problem.
I was just like, Fendão is really the coolest cave ever. So many adventures.
So, I mean, like, and obviously, like, the intention of a fur camp, for instance, is obviously just to bring people together with nature and everything like that. So, where, So people are almost, what's the word, geared towards roughing it. But then again, I mean, if you look at the facilities themselves, it looks quite, you know, nice, actually. It actually looks very, very nice to go and stay there. But I mean, like, how many people are staying in one room for starter?
In each room?
Yeah.
Depends on the room. All the cabins have different size of rooms. So there's rooms with five people, for five people, three people, two people, six people, seven people. The biggest one that they have 8 beds.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say that there is no default room. All rooms are different.
And every house has like 10 rooms or so for house. I don't remember.
The one that we are using for the event have 8 rooms.
No, oh, I see. Yeah,
8 rooms. That is other thing that I'm going to do. The Nordic culture have 9 realms, Asgard than the other.
Yeah.
And we have 8 rooms and 1 party room. Nice. So
yeah, the saloon.
All the rooms will have a name from the Yggdrasil, from the culture, Nordic culture. So Muspelheim,
nice.
Helheim, Midgard, and other things.
That's cool.
It's
really cool.
You're lucky that you got those 8, the like 9 rooms and 9 realms. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Who is the? I'm going to send here on our chat.
Uh-huh.
I found an image from the entrance. It's not Fendão. It's called Caverna do Diabo.
Which translates to Devil's Cave. Yeah.
I sent the picture on the chat.
Okay. Which translates to the Devil's Cave.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Wow, that's... Fuck, that's enormous.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Right, let me
Caverna de Mundo, indeed. Seriously, that's huge.
That is wow.
It's the title says that's the biggest
the title that is on the image is about the site. It's not about the cave.
Hmm. Oh.
It's a website for caves.
Huge.
So that's what's it? Mayor Portal.
The Caverna do Mundo.
Which is the biggest cave entrance in the world. Something like that.
It's because the image that I find, that it is on a website that have caves from the world.
Mm. That is a very, very big hole.
Excuse you?
God.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody.
You can put your weed in there.
God damn it, Ivic. Why am I still here? Why am I still here?
I'm trying to find the image from the whole park.
Yeah. From the whole park. Okay.
So that assuming that cave isn't near your site. Your
It's near on the how can I say? Parque Estadual de Intervalos have 3 to 4 different parks on the same region. So Intervalos have some of the caves. Other Pousada da Diva have other caves. Each park have some caves, but you can go to the other caves differently. It's all inside of Petar. All the parks that have on Petar, you can stay on Intervalos, but you can go on the caves that is on Pousada da Diva.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't have a limitation for caves.
Hmm.
That's really cool.
Okay. That is really cool. Like, I mean, that picture is... Sorry, since we're actually talking about said picture. Do we have a link for that, maybe? Hmm.
What was the name of that cave? Just say that again.
Devil's Cave?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
I'll catch the link for Petar, from Petar.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
please. Okay, so we're definitely gonna have that link up.
somewhere.
Scratch, I'm not sure if we can we do like editing magic, and as soon as that pops up, we pop up this picture.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
You know, I just upload these straight, right? I don't edit anything. I don't own editing software, but fine. I'll see what I can do.
Okay. We don't have to do that, but we can definitely have a link in the description.
Yeah, have one of those eye things. Like a little icon on the right-hand side. Yeah, we'll put that in.
Yeah. Okay, cool
stuff. I'm checking the website if they have an English version.
I mean, the picture is probably the most important.
Yeah. Okay, I'm catching the link.
Hell, what is that, like 100 meters?
It's enormous is what it is.
Here, I send the link. Petar Online.
Thank you very much.
And I mean, at the end of the day, Google has, I guess, in some ways updated its translation software, which is great.
Updated. It learns, Ivic. It doesn't update, it learns.
Oh, that makes it worse, doesn't it?
It does. I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
Yay, Google.
All right, it knows everything about everyone.
Yes. There is Google Translate, yeah. No, that's absolutely true. Google Translate does do most of that stuff properly. Thank you, Noah. But yeah, it's just a large amount of the time it's very inaccurate as to wording and
the sentence structure and grammar, but it's fine. You should get the gist at least.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? So when it comes to like international guests, like, do you guys have any international guests coming to the first camp?
For this year,
yeah,
it's still not any international guest. Mm. I think it's because that. We still making the website with other languages.
Oh, that's on my plan. I was the one that made the site, and that is in my plan, like, to make it international. I'm going to do it for the next year, hopefully.
And okay. we choose it to not make so much
noise.
So much noise from the international community, because what we are a small team, and on the park they don't have too much guides that talk English. They are still preparing the guides to talk. The restaurant is already have some English people on there, some people that talks English and talk Spanish, but not everyone talks on there. So here in Brazil. That is a sad thing on Brazil. Not everyone talks English. It's a small part of the of people that live here that have a second language.
Mm. No, fair enough. I mean, even speaking about that, like, for South Africa, for instance, it's a bit more. I guess it's a lot less difficult to be able to have, you know, large amounts of people who speak English, particularly because it has sort of become the South African lingua franca, but I mean, in Brazil, particularly, there's like several other languages that people speak, including some of the indigenous ones. How does communication actively work there? Are there actually people who don't necessarily speak Portuguese at all?
Only the people that came to work here in Brazil. Like me, I work on a company that is from India.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk English every day with the guys that came from India to work with me. Mm-hmm. Most of the people don't have the same opportunity. So the second most common language here in Brazil, I think, that is Spanish, because the Spanish people that live close to us, Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Peru.
Yeah. And. An interesting question now. I mean, obviously, this is going to be interesting, particularly because we find a very similar issue here in South Africa. But I mean, when it comes to, I guess, what you would call indigenous people of Brazil, for instance, like, do you guys find it difficult to interact with them and get them to, you know, open up and things like that, or is it something completely different? Like, I don't know sort of what would you call it, social background in respect to Brazil as much as I'd like to, for instance. But I mean, for South Africa, the vast majority of people who are part of the furry fandom are white and European, whereas the vast majority of people who we'd like to have, indigenous groups to be sort of part of everything, like not necessarily as many of them, I think, what, 4 out of the 400 possible?
I honestly don't even know about one, to be perfectly honest.
Because, I don't know, like, I mean, so is it difficult to deal with, or to not deal with, it's not the word that I wanted, is it difficult to interact with indigenous groups in Brazil?
No, because they talk Portuguese too. They don't.
Yeah.
It's some small village that still have the modern language, but every one of them talks Portuguese on these days.
But I mean, it's the same for South Africa, that like the vast majority speak either English or Afrikaans. But I mean, is it difficult to, you know, get them to say join up for, you know, furry events
or understand furry culture almost?
That would be the question. Yeah,
that is the problem. If I'm not wrong, we still have only one in natives reserve. Mm-hmm. The Xingu. It's that Foxy. I'm not sure.
Apparently you know a lot more about that than me, so
We don't have too much natives on these days. Most of them are living on the society. They don't have the old costumes anymore. They don't have the old language, the old... They don't have anything that they have on the beginning.
I think
there is only one big reservation. I'm searching that.
I think maybe you can find more indigenous people living in like less developed regions of our country, because Brazil is a very big country and we have more developed regions, we have less developed regions. Maybe I'm just speculating here. Maybe the less developed regions of our country still have like villages or so. Like Amazonas might have a lot of natives to this day.
But I mean, and obviously industrial sort of action is cutting into that forest.
Yeah, some of them. Some of them are protected by law. We have actually 8 reserves of Indian reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them on Amazonia.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them on São Paulo, Santa Catarina.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, they are small, really small.
Yeah.
Let me check how much people live in there.
I mean, for me, obviously, I'm a linguist, I guess would be the term. But I mean, one of the things that...
Language man.
Language man. But I mean for me one of the most important things is that, like, you know, cultures are preserved as much as possible, for instance, just at least the languages themselves, particularly because I mean one of the oldest languages in South African culture recently, I mean like 6 years ago, I dined with the last fluent speaker of the Khoisan, for instance, and I mean it was For many people, nobody actually even knew that, and that had happened. So one of the questions that I sort of want to bring out here, I know that this is very little to do with furry culture, but in that same sense, it really has a lot to do with furry culture, particularly because we envelop and attempt to accommodate the kinds of people that we want to accommodate for whatever reasons. I mean, it'd be wonderful, for instance, at least from my perspective, to have more of an African influence in our culture, for instance, to be able to have and see the kind of, you know, richness in culture from people who were here and have always been here, rather than more sort of Western stuff. It's one of the reasons why I myself sort of feel a little bit embarrassed, because we did make a concerted effort to go for neutral ground particularly because the vast majority of our grouping is white. So we opted for more neutral, and it's not like Western is very neutral. Perspectives on cultural appropriation, for instance, that was something that we spoke about. Like, when and where, how does one begin to sort of, I'm coming to a question, don't worry. When and where do you feel that you can actively begin to bring in the culture of your country into a furry convention, for instance?
I think we could do that with themes, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I know with the themes, but the thing is, when one chooses a theme, it gets difficult, particularly because, I mean, when you choose one, there's bound to be some form of backlash from outside.
No,
groups.
I don't think.
Huh? Okay.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I don't think that wouldn't be the case. Like, there's a controversial talk that goes around here, around the medias, and about cultural appropriation, but we don't think that it would be the case for, like, indigenous communities, like, coming to us and saying, hey, you cannot talk about that because it's our culture and you are not part of our culture, blah, blah, blah. But, well, it's part of our story as Brazilians. Like, mm-hmm. in our story, in the colonization period, it's all there. Would there be a problem? I mean, mm-hmm. yes, they could, but I don't think it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. The Brazilian culture,
what
have,
do you think? Chaos?
Our folklore, all our myths, our legends here in Brazil, it's all based on natives, on yeah. all based on indigenous myths. So
yeah.
it's not the same things that we have on the legends is the same thing that they have. So they have caipora, they have cuca, they have boitatá. It's all part of their culture too. So it's not appropriation.
You could say that we have a Brazilian mythology around this indigenous culture. So
okay.
So yeah.
That's actually a very cool explanation. That's amazing, actually. Because again, and like in South Africa, for a large amount of, and this is possibly one of the issues that I'm sort of trying to get at. It's very difficult at times to talk to, you know, different cultures about their culture, particularly because they're very guarded about it. And I mean, you can see the same thing in America, for instance, that, you know, on a cultural level, it's very, very difficult to find out more about what was going on there unless you were sort of accepted within the culture itself. And for that matter, I mean, like, it's, if I could have the time, I would probably spend large amounts of time learning about all 11 languages and the cultures behind them. But I have to rely on my students, for instance, to in any way understand what happened and how things happened. And like, the further we go down in generations, the less even they know about their own cultures. And I find that to be very sad, almost, that we're losing out on a culture, particularly because of the sins of our fathers, where we're really sort of not as connected in that respect. And one has to be as respectful to other cultures as possible.
Of course, yeah.
And I think it's a lot difficult because you have so many cultures inside Africa, right? I mean, you have a very diverse and at the same time closed community. They like, oh no, this is my culture. You cannot look it.
Hmm.
It definitely feels like
so,
a jump.
Yeah, I mean, Noah's asking about the Mayan culture, that they compare themselves to animals, for instance. And again, that sort of falls into furry culture in some ways.
Yeah.
So weird question, and I mean, if you don't have the answer, you don't have the answer. But like, what about the Mayans, for instance? What did that bring, for instance, now in this modern society? What does it bring?
I mean, what?
Mayan culture, yeah.
Yeah, Mayan culture, yeah.
But they are not from Brazil. They are from Chile, oh, really? Chile?
Or Peru, maybe.
Peru.
From Brazil, we only have the. We don't have those in natives. Mm-hmm. The natives on Brazil that we have are Tupi Guarani. That is the language that they talk, and
yes.
the orange of them. We have the Tupi Indians. Let me catch a thing. We don't have the Mayans, the Incas, Aztecs. All of them are from the Spanish Inquisition that happened on Argentina, Chile, Peru, Bolivia. What is the other country? There is other country around here that talk in Spanish too that have the contact with that those natives.
Is it Paraguay?
Paraguay too. They talk to Tupi in some place of Paraguay. Still talk to Tupi. If you want to find here on Chile, they have the Machu Picchu.
Yes.
It's a Mayan, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
City that is built on top of a mountain.
Believe it or not, I was in Chile for I don't even know how many years. Two, but from birth at that point. It's an amazing, like, I mean, I don't remember a thing, but apparently, like, yeah, it's very interesting. Modern day Mexico-ish, apparently Mayan territory, northern. Mexico-ish area.
Okay. More north.
Mm-hmm. More north. Okay. So, I mean, like, I know that we're quizzing you about Brazilian culture currently, but, I mean, it does, in some senses, actually connect very much to being furry, for instance, because, I mean, we are an internet culture, and a large amount of the time, I guess, here's actually a very good question. What kind of culture do you guys see the Brazilian furry community to espouse?
What kind of culture?
Yeah. What kind of culture do you want to see in Brazil?
Well, I think that the non-furries reaction to furries in Brazil, they are a little more receptive than the rest of the world, because they seem to not know about the problems that the furry community has faced as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that reason, they are very receptive about furries in a sense. But they don't seem to find us repulsive in any context around here in Brazil, and they look curious, like they look at us with curiosity, and I could say a little bit of interest, but. Mm-hmm. But I think most of the culture in Brazil, they are very conservative, and everything that is different might have a judging gaze from them. See, so yeah.
Completely understand that.
And how do you intend to sort of fix that? Like, what's the grand plan over the next, say, 5 years? Like, how do you
speak to the normies about furries?
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah. Like, I think we started off good. I mean, people in Brazil are responding very nicely to furries. And I think that if we keep up that idea about for instance, let's say the otaku culture, like the mm-hmm. the otaku culture, yeah. The ones that watch anime and everything. Well, in that group, you have like people that draw, people that write fanfics. You have people that produce audio. You have people who produce lewd art, lewd, and everything I just said, but lewd. You have.
Yep.
I mean, it's lewd on.
Music.
Yes. How is that even? Anyway. how is that even possible? Anyway. You.
Brazilian
fun. You have. Yes, that. And like, you have it on every group, on every community, you have all of that I just said. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's bad. It's wrong to judge a community for their problems. Like, it's wrong to judge people for their problems. You should not judge a person from what they are. You the correct approach would be to try to understand why that group acted that way. What happened beforehand? Like, trying to understand, like, not just, oh, these are people that go around dressed like animals, but I'm gonna say, for example, one thing that happened out there on United States, I think. Oh, all these guys who dress like puppies, they are actually pedophiles that want to kidnap our children and take them to the... No! It might have happened once or twice. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But you can't judge a whole group, a whole community for some individual rotten apples. See, it's...
Yeah.
But it happens on every community. It happens on every community, like the furry community, the otaku community, the My Little Pony community. Like, every community has the same kind of problems with conservative, normal people. So I don't think, I don't know, maybe if we show ourselves with good attitude to the people, maybe this will change.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, that's what we're definitely trying to do. From our side, at least.
Yeah.
Just to finish the talk about the natives, I sent the two images. The first one from Xingu, that is a reserve, and the other from Pataxó. Yeah. There are two different types of Indians that we have. It's different from the Mayans, Aztecs, and Incas.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, jeez. I love language. To the point that I would love to be able to learn it if I had time, but I mean, how do the no that's a question for something.
The language that they talk.
Yeah, is it just?
It's based preserved on museums.
Mm-hmm.
We have some museums here in Brazil that is preserving their talk, their culture, and their words. They are making some. Preservation of that thing. I think that this was what you're trying to ask that some time ago, right?
Yeah, I guess. Like, how do you preserve the language? That's also a good answer. That it's an interesting thing. I mean, like, culture obviously plays a heavy role in the furry fan, particularly because of the idea of, you know, what is and what isn't, you know, kosher. Do you find that? I guess more liberal groups are too loud at times, or like, do you think that they have a point in respect to what they're saying, things like that?
Like in the furry community itself, or
yeah, in the furry community itself. Like, do you have the same problems that America, in respect to this sort of social justice movement, for instance, or the opposite side of that particular coin? Like, what kind of, like, issues do you guys face? Is it just, like, personal issues amongst one another, or is it, like, more, you know, there are particular groups that you don't necessarily want to have there anymore? Is that a prevalent issue within the fandom?
No, I think it's very, very different. Like, for example, the United States, like, Western culture / mythology. Like, you have the cowboys and the Indians, they're like, bang, bang, bang. No, I think historically speaking, we deal with the indigenous culture in a very different way. Like, we don't have it's very different. Like we have so little Indian communities around here, like Indian, like indigenous, like so little. If we have like 1,000, if we have 1,000, it's a lot. You mean in that versus the national territory is like insignificant. Like, I know that sometimes we are the rest of the world as a very like jungles and monkeys all around, but that's
like us in the Savannah.
Simpsons did. Yeah, but no, like we actually have a lot of civilized areas here, like in the central region of the country. For instance, you have like Minas Gerais, you have like São Paulo, you have Santa Catarina, you have Rio de Janeiro. It's all a very civilized place. You don't see much of the Indians around there. So
from all the population that we have in Brazil, 0.4% are Indians, are natives. So it's really, really, it's less than 1% of natives here in Brazil.
Do you think that that's a problem or an issue?
I don't know how to answer that, because some of them are entering on the civilized regions, working, buying houses. So they are entering on the they are leaving the village. They are starting to be like us. How can I say on?
Yeah.
No, it's not to sound bad. That is they are leaving the village to the cities.
That makes sense.
It's sad. It's something that is sad. They are losing their own culture to function
in the real world, quote unquote.
Yep.
Modernization. Okay, because look, I mean, the only reason why I'm asking about this, or the only reason why we're talking about this particularly, is because I do find sort of an interesting sort of, I guess, connection between South African culture and Brazilian culture, particularly because of the sort of way that it was colonized. And I mean, from a furry perspective, it is something that we do need to sort of address at times, because I mean, we want to try and is my typing that loud as well?
No. Someone's just typing a little bit loudly.
Yeah, they're very
it's like mechanically.
Oh, sorry, it's me.
Sorry, remember what I said before, that every problem that's happening on Brazil are Foxy's fault. So now you understand.
That's not true.
Can
I'm not a corrupt politician.
can we blame, what's the word, colonization in the like what 1600s to 1500s on Foxy as
Foxy,
well?
Foxy, why did you cause colonization?
Yep. Yeah, why did you colonize Brazil? What did you do? Why would you have done it? Yeah. Hey?
What?
We're blaming everything on you. We're blaming absolutely everything on you.
As according to chaos.
As according to chaos.
According to chaos.
I'm only saying the truth. Everything is Foxy's problem.
No, it's not. His fault. Stop being unfair. That's unfair.
So, speaking about problems and the whole. How do you guys like deal? In South Africa, for instance, we are a small community. We don't necessarily have as many young furs as we would have, I guess, maybe liked to have seen in the past 10 years since the forum's gone up. Now, 2008 was the first time that the furry forum sort of raised its head and said, "Hello, I am here. I will be your overseer." was trying to figure out a different word that was a lot better than that, but okay.
I genuinely don't know what you're saying right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about either, but I'm going to push on and see whether I can get to a point. Exactly how I teach. But yeah, so I mean, in respect to like particular issues in, say, getting younger people involved in your fandom, are there any particular pitfalls that you guys have found? Is there anything that you're doing to, say, be more inclusive to younger furs, or how does that work?
Sometimes I think the actual mindset about dealing with young furs is being like keeping it clean, like keeping mm-hmm. it away from the NSFW stuff, yeah. Like presenting only the clean stuff. If they find the NSF, you know, yeah. If they find a backdoor, it's on them, you see? So, and as I said, every community has their like lewd side. So, like, what we can do and we do is like when we deal with young furs, we don't usually show that side to them. Like, we try to keep it. We like to keep things clean and safe for work.
Yeah.
For all that matters.
Which is fine. I mean, same with us. It's not like, yeah. We've spoken about this a million times. Like, every community has its, you know, the after dark side. But I mean, the best we can do, and I'm speaking we in the capacity as like convention organizers, is keep our nose clean and like try and not put that foot forward to the public, like unnecessarily. Talk about it, whatever. It is a part of our like shared experience as furries, I suppose. Shared experience as being humans, but we're not gonna, I don't know, display dildos in the art the artist's alley or something like that.
Yeah, like our plan is like to follow that ideology, like not mm-hmm. not go around showing that, hey, you have you seen that porn, like,
I mean, there are groups of that.
Yeah. And actually, as a past teenager, it didn't take me that long to find the back door to the fandom. So
it never
I actually
does.
Came in through the back door. I mean, a lot of us came through the back door. So yeah. I don't know. It's more about community and friendship than the porn. Like
very
dirty.
Much.
It's there, but you know, it's not the central point of it, of course.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. So, just Halcyon randomly commenting here. In the beginning, the universe was created, and most found it to be rather inconvenient, so they blamed Fox.
Straight out of the Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yep.
Ah, this evil war that we have, it was Fox's default.
Yeah.
What?
Wow. Okay.
A civil war? Really?
Yeah. So, an interesting question. Like, the word popufer, does that mean anything in the Brazilian fandom? And is Fox T one?
No. I keep hearing that. Let me talk about pop furs then. One. And
it's,
only one pop fur around here,
you,
which is
everything's your fault.
No, it's not me. That's not my fault either. And like, if I could say that we have a pop fur here, this one would be Crash Azarel, because you know anything that guy does goes viral, and it's ridiculous. Like. When he came to be recognized as a pop fur, a lot of other people came in the tail of the rocket, like, I want to be a pop fur. I want to be a pop fur. Everyone started thinking like that. I was like, what the hell? What the hell, guys? You don't need that to be acknowledged as a pop fur, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't like that word. Like, mostly, I mean, what I do is I treat people well.
I think.
A what?
The idea that nobody likes popufers, or at least the term.
Yeah, nobody likes sort of the idea of it.
Yeah, it's weird because what I usually treat people with a lot of respect, and I try to keep the humor in a light fashion, and that's why people like to talk to me and they keep coming. What's wrong about that? Like, it's not like I'm a popfer. I just respect people for what they are, and I don't judge them. Like, they're all humans. We are all humans. We don't, like, why would I think that I have some authority to judge, like, any of the people that come talk to me? No. Everybody makes mistakes. It's all part of the process.
That is a very down-to-earth answer. I like that.
What?
It's a very down-to-earth answer. I like that. It's like, like, who am I to judge other people? And why should I find myself in any way morally superior to other people?
Yeah, and if you have the chance to talk to Crash, you'll see that he's a very nice person and he's very humble. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy because it's like he becomes a completely different person when he's inside that fursuit. And I think that's kind of the magic of having a fursuit. I actually debuted my Fox T2.0 in BFF, and I had a blast. Like, everybody was talking to me and like... What?
Pixar, you didn't have a blast.
Pix. I want to see pictures.
Where's the pictures? Oh, okay. Let me see. I have...
Chaos, for that matter, because he takes care of his first, he does.
Let me see.
Hey! All I'm saying is that you wrote it down. You take care of your fursuit.
I take care of it.
Yeah, but
it
also
is all. My suit is really old. It's from 2012.
Oh my god, that's cute. Obviously, we are going to link all these pictures. we just need links of these pictures and whatnot, please.
I think it's on Facebook. I need to check. But well, it's my.
I need to send the link from the pictures from the natives.
No. Those two, I guess. But also a picture of your fursuit, please, and thank you.
I'm catching one.
God, you're fluffy.
thank you. That was so awesome debuting this suit on Zooferfest. It was so awesome.
Love the glasses, though. Do you have glasses underneath the head?
I tried that once, and it didn't work out well, so no. I'm avoiding... I'm avoiding using glasses under the mask, because it just doesn't work.
it actually worked for me. I know that, what's the word? Yote, who made my suit, for instance, actually gave me enough room in the head to be able to put the head on without necessarily catching too much on the inside foam with the rims of my glasses, and it actually works super well. I can see, and it's amazing. It's just taking it off, on the other hand, might just sort of take the glasses with it.
You asked me about
the problem with the glass and the heads of the first suit is that it sometimes leaves the lenses blurry, so
yeah, especially when you're breathing.
Yeah.
You asked a picture of my fursuit.
Yes.
I was finding one here. I find the two pictures that was really, really different thing for me to happen. When I lived on the countryside of São Paulo, I used it to help an animal organization called Pelos e Patas, that is paws and furs. And I was going to a meeting that I was having on the center of the city. And I passed it to a couple that was marrying, and they called me to take pictures with them. So I take picture with the wife, the husband, and the brooms, I think that the girls that came with the ring.
Oh.
And it was something so different.
Never make that noise again, please, Ivic. Never make that noise again, please.
What, you mean?
Yes, that.
God.
You are trash.
Oh, I know. I've accepted my trash. And I tend to like, you know, currently, because obviously my diet doesn't allow for anything else, but I mean, mostly okay chicken / beef seems all right. And if you guys ever do want to feed me, just make sure that, like, it's carb. Thank you.
How do we get onto your diet, Ivic? How the
I said it was trash.
Guesses is you were trash, and that was the end of it.
Trash means eating.
Christ. What? Are we done yet? It's just. It's been a long weekend, okay? Are we done with this?
It is. I'm sorry.
Oh my
pictures.
God.
Pictures.
Yeah, we'll post the pictures somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, on the YouTube things.
Yeah. I'm sending the pictures of the broom and the wife and a picture that I love.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's have a look at this.
Send it.
Green as hell. Holy crap. Wow. You're no. Well, you're not as green as I am.
I was about to say pot boxes. Calling the kettle black or green in this case.
No, I'm sorry. Jeez.
Oh, that's cute.
That's actually very cute. That's super cute. We'll if you guys do have links for this, or if you can just upload it onto somewhere for us that we can see these, then
yeah, well,
the pictures that I've been sending is from my Facebook.
Yeah, the same as me. I like save the pictures and send them. Like it's from my Facebook too, but yeah, you know, you can just upload them. Is there a way for you guys to do that? Or
yeah, we can do an Imgur or something. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll pop the pop links and everything like that. Goodness.
This last one is the people that from the animal organization that I have. But
you're okay. Actually, speaking about animal organizations, what exactly? Oh. Like obviously every camp. Has a what's the word, like a cause that you guys are paying towards, especially when it comes to things like that.
Charity.
What is your organization, your charity? Thank you very much.
From charity. from the first,
yes,
for the first year, I am feeling so shy to talk about.
Oh, come on.
Is our first con. So we are learning a lot of things. So we still didn't have one organization to help. It's something that we're still creating. So most of the things that we are doing on the camp are doing as we are learning with the con. So for the first year, we still don't have any organization that you are helping.
That's fine.
We don't have some Foxy, help me.
Sorry, Rip, can you repeat the question for me? I was
it's do about
you guys have yeah. Do you have an organization that you guys are paying to donations and things?
Or like a charity that you guys are sponsoring?
Oh,
or something?
right. No, we haven't yet. We haven't thought about like charity this year. But that was actually something that was in my mind, like since Brazil for Fest, because, well, it's crazy about what people do for charity. Really, I was so surprised about this year. They actually got like almost 10,000 and something in charity, and they helped like SOS Vida Pet from Santos. I think it would be nice for us to do something like that. Yes,
well, I mean it's not too late, obviously, but I mean it's something for the future, I guess.
Yes.
In respect to those kinds of donations and things like that, like I mean, I know that there was a tweet recently that was saying. Why is it that we're constantly looking at things like, you know, animals and things like that? Obviously, they're very close to our hearts. But, I mean, is there ever a different choice in respect to charity? Like, not animals.
Maybe there could be one for, like, nature preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there could be one for like indigenous culture, maybe.
Habitat for Humanity
had problems.
Kind of thing?
Yes. Something like that. I think there could be
there's a lot of
maybe something too. For the maybe something for inter itself. Go ahead.
It's definitely something to look into, I think, because I know that there have been people, and I know that if I'm not mistaken, AnthroCon actually at one point donated to people with, I think it's I can't remember what it was.
Sorry.
It was about 2 years ago, something like that. That was, whatever. But the thing is that it's definitely something that we can look into, looking at outside of just furry interests or animal interests. That's maybe somebody can help me out here. Just by the way, random tangent. Halcyon says that you guys are brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Well.
Really
sorry,
much.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. I'm reading chat, don't worry. I got this on lockdown.
Thank you very much, man.
Yeah. Basilisk asks what, and I don't necessarily know what they're referring to. That was about 5 minutes ago. People judge others to make other themselves.
Probably with regards to the poppy fur thing.
Yeah, probably about that. And I guess, I mean, what we do like, of course, is, and weirdly enough, because about we started talking around about 2015, 2016, if I'm not mistaken. It was with Tempo and that entire sort of thing. And one of the most interesting things is that, like, what I'd like to see moving ahead in respect to maybe our two both conventions as well as our communities is that maybe we start working a little bit more closely with one another. You know, doing things. I mean, both of us are on the southern points, or mostly southern points of the equator, and being able to get involved with other communities is always going to be a great idea. So, I'm putting this out there. It is now 1 minute to 9:30, which is around about our cutoff time. But I'd like to actually sort of ask whether if you guys ever want to come down our side.
Whether absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to do that. But
As
of now, what we could do is like refer to each other's cons in our con books. Like that would be nice. That would be a nice step, like, towards the whole uniting the furry community. And Brazil Fur Fest already mentioned us the con book, if I'm not mistaken. And
so I have a couple of propositions that we can do offline, but definitely something that I'd like to be able to do is that we begin working around, you know, getting smaller cons together and talking about things. For instance, I mean, America, obviously, the big one, but you know, being able to sort of on an international level communicate with one another. Especially when we're all just kind of starting out and things like that, that's something that I'd love to see. Is that, I mean, gods, I want to talk to the people from Taiwan and Japan and China. I really do. So I'd love to be able to create some form of network between all of us that's useful to, I guess, smaller conventions getting noticed. And maybe that's something we can talk about later, but. Just so that it's live, this is an idea that literally popped into my head about 5 minutes ago, but probably popped into my head about a year ago. Year and a half ago, maybe. Definitely a year and a half ago. Okay. We have hit 9:30. Thank you to actually being on the on the podcast. We really do enjoy your company. It's actually pretty interesting to hear a little bit more about the cultures and everything like that around your own conventions and everything like that. I think that it's an amazing endeavor, especially considering the fact that, like, I mean, it's always difficult, I guess, to get people so spread apart together in one place, especially in Brazil. I mean, Brazil's massive. In I think, what is it? Brazil and South Africa are probably around about the same size.
Let me check. I will fact check.
Yeah. we shall fact check this. But yeah, I mean, like, size wise, it's difficult to get like these massive community. What I do massive, but like small communities in particular big cities together, especially when they're like 1,000 kilometers apart from one another. The travel travel distances are high. If you've got to use a car, it's difficult. It's costs money beyond buying your con ticket and everything like that. And it was great. It's something that we can definitely look into and learn from, especially when the communities are as small as they are. I mean, in America, you could literally have 50, maybe 200 different cons at any given point, and people will be able to make them. But in South Africa and probably in Brazil, it's difficult to get from one area to another, especially in respect to, like, what would you call it, monetary issues. And to be able to get a plane ticket from one place to another costs a fair amount of money. There's no such thing, for instance, as, you know, frequent flyer miles, which would give you like considerable discounts on one flight to another.
Furry flyer miles.
Yeah, furry flyer. Oh, goodness me. Now you've given me another. Thank you very much. That involves our train idea as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you. Thank you, too, for actually being on the convention. Yeah.
On the podcast.
On the podcast. We really do appreciate it. And yeah. One of the things that I do also want to say, I know this is me wrapping up here, and I will ask you 2 seconds, but yeah, if you guys have anything that you guys want to plug, for instance, obviously your convention is full currently, but from what point onwards in 2020 would people be able to start looking into a fur camp for them to be able to start signing up
right after the com, right after the com,
directly after
they
the
can com. Directly after the com, they can start to looking on our website or Facebook. We are going to start to uploading videos on YouTube, the Twitter, so they can accompany the convention on the social media, and the website is something that me and Fox G was talking about, the internalization. To insert the website for Spanish, for English, just the
international. Yeah. You see, the translating for other languages, yes.
Yeah. So that's, what's it, www.furcamp.com.br.
Yep,
that's it.
Okay. So just one more time. www.furcamp.com.br is the official website. Beyond that, I believe that your social media, I've been checking this for a while now, you have a Facebook social media as well as, actually, this should all be available on site.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
I will send for you the link for our social media, the Twitter, the YouTube. YouTube still don't have anything. I'm going to start uploading by this week.
Okay.
Videos from the...
Yeah,
I don't know
I've
if you see
seen
it.
Those videos. I believe about your houses.
We have
load.
Oh
of
yeah,
Fag, Wolven and Sodotir.
Sodotir and Zlod. It's Zlod. The four
is
houses
that
of
one?
The. No,
oh,
it's okay. It started. I created the convention, the lore of the event with four houses and four leaders. It's a good thing for you. So it's easy to create a lore on the when you have more house.
Yeah,
so each house wants to take the control or something like that. It's something more easy to do.
Awesome.
Power above
at least...
all else. This is my no.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, thank
right.
you guys again for being on. And I think you're probably going to be doing some music after this, correct?
Yes, yes. A little bit of music in about 10 minutes, so 9:45, I will be playing the music my new playlist, which is a very, very shortened playlist, but I'm going to sneak in a couple of my own songs as well. But yeah, so... Oh, ha, ha, ha. No, it isn't. It's just eventually, what's the word, bravura is going to drag me across the coals.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you again
you
for listening. And
yes.
Thank you, Foxy and Chaos, for being on. And we shall see you guys again next week.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for the opportunity.
Yes. And remember, And remember, if you have any problems, it's my fault.
Yeah, of gotcha. Course. Always Foxy's fault. Good luck with
him. I was going to say that, but I was worried that Foxy would kill me.
Nice. Yeah. Good luck with your own convention.
Yeah.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing any like pictures or whatever you guys can upload as soon as it gets off the ground.
Yeah.
Cool.
Can we have them?
Yes, please. Cool. All right. Goodbye, everybody. See ya.
Cheers. Goodbye. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.